In my old job, I used to go to London on business a couple of times every year. And there were a couple of churches where I liked to worship when I was in town. One of them was St. James Piccadilly, and it was a bit of an eye-opener for me. I was accustomed to worshiping in Episcopal churches, and I had a sense of how the order of worship should unfold. The folks at St. James Piccadilly were among the loosest and disorganized group of church people I have ever known. I didn't know that one could wander so much when one was still worshiping out of the Book of Common Prayer. But I loved going back to that church because the priest, Charles, was really welcoming, and so were the people there. And I might go once every 6 months, but there was somebody there who would recognize me. That was a really neat feeling. I went into church one way, and I came out another. Now, I could walk to St. James Piccadilly from where I would stay, and to get to worship, I would often cut through St. James Square. This was once one of the most fashionable neighborhoods in London, and it's a lovely, beautiful green square that is surrounded by Georgian and Neo-Georgian structures, many of which had been mansions. Now, these buildings are primarily corporate offices, the London Library is located there, and there is also the home of the Naval and Military Club, more colloquially known as the In and Out. Now, the front of this clubhouse has two white pillars flanking the doors, and on one is the word in and on the other out. And one seeing this might think, gee, that's just a little bit odd, even for British standards. There's an explanation, though, and that is this. The club has not always been located in St. James's Square. In fact, until 1999, it was located in Piccadilly. And it was housed in a big mansion, a real pile of a place. And it had a forecourt in front of it. And you could, well, when the house was built, you would have gone in with your horse and carriage. Now you would have had your driver and car bring you in through one set of gates marked in. And when you left, you would have come out the other side. And that was marked out. Well, the club had been in its old quarters for more than a century. They had a long-term leasehold. And then finally that ran out and they weren't able to come to terms. So they decamped to St. James Square and they took their traditional name In and Out with them. In and Out just came to mind for me as I was reflecting on this morning's passage from Luke and indeed on all of Holy Week. We have entered into this time, this period of intense reflection and prayer with Jesus and with the followers who gathered at Jerusalem to sing his praises. Indeed, this is an amazing story that Luke tells about what happens. It's masterful narrative. He builds up the momentum very carefully, focusing on lots of details about the donkey. We know where the donkey will be found. We know what kind of donkey it has to be. We know what password has to be said to retrieve the donkey. Now, Luke could have gone Hemingway on us and just said, Jesus rode into the city on a donkey. There was lots of cheering. But he doesn't do that, does he? He draws us in. He builds a sense of anticipation. And all of a sudden, we find ourselves in the midst of this crowd. Indeed, we don't need to read the scripture, right? We know what happens. There's a huge crowd there, and their children singing praises, and they're waving their palms. But wait a moment. Were we listening closely to what Luke said? There are no children in this morning's lesson, are there? And what was it that the people laid down before Jesus? Their cloaks. There isn't a palm in sight. No fronds here. Happy Cloak Sunday. That one never quite caught on, did it? It doesn't matter, though, whether the people are laying down their cloaks or whether they are throwing down palm fronds after they have waved them. They're welcoming Jesus as king. But who are these people? Luke tells us they are disciples. These are people who have been following Jesus. These are people who have been listening to him. Maybe some of them were at the Sermon on the Mount. Maybe some of them experienced a healing. Maybe some of them saw him teaching or preaching or doing a miracle. This wasn't a crowd that was just caught up in the excitement. These were people who'd been paying attention to Jesus. And they sing out their praises. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace be in heaven. There are echoes here to the Psalms and to the birth narrative that Luke has told. There is excitement. The disciples have chosen to enter into Jerusalem with Jesus. But we know there are some present who have opted to do differently. Some of the Pharisees, they don't like what he's saying. Indeed, they're critical. But unbeknownst to them, they too are entering into this experience. They may reject it, but they have a response. They have been drawn in. Now, there's a real poignancy to the fact that we have disciples and Pharisees here at the center of the story, because these are all people who in their own way love God. And they've listened to preaching and they've read scripture and they're excited about the things they believe God can do. These are people like us. For are we not disciples? Here you are, Sunday morning, you're at church. You could be off having brunch right now, or sleeping in, or doing some yard work, or riding your bicycle. You have come to be at church because something in Scripture, or something you've seen, or the Spirit has moved you to be here. And so many of you will devote your time and your energy to doing the work of the church in so many different ways, whether it's in pastoral care or whether it's in mission work or working with our kids, singing in the choir. Folks, you're disciples. You should feel great about that. I hope you do. Of course, those of you who have heard me preach before know that I'm about to drop the other shoe. And it's a big one. These disciples, we're all excited about Jesus when he came into Jerusalem. They're singing his praises. Where were they at the end of the week? They melted away. They fled. They hid. Peter, the rock on whom the church will be built, denies Jesus three times. When the disciples were tested, they failed. And guess what? Each of us here will be tested too. We may not be faced with martyrdom, but we will be tested. There will be times in our lives, and surely there have been times in the past, when we will be challenged or confronted, when our faith will be stressed, and we'll have to make choices about whether we follow Jesus or we follow the culture, we do the expedient thing. We may not even recognize it when it happens, but we will be tested, and at some point in our lives, we will fail the test. We will fail. We're all sinners. But here's the good news. I'll crib something from our kids. I'm going to give you the sneak preview. We're going to be redeemed. Jesus is still going to give his all for us. When I lived in Massachusetts. We had a house on the North Shore, and I'd often commute into the city on the commuter rail. And as we passed by or approached one of the stops along the way, there was a conductor who would occasionally share an old, old ditty. He'd say, "Lynn, Lynn, city of sin, you'll never come out the way you went in." There were good church folk on the North Shore who did not like that. They had bumper stickers made up that said, "Lynn, Lynn, city of him." God bless their hearts. But I have to tell you, I'm a traditionalist, and I prefer the older, saltier version. Lynn is not the only city of sin out there, is it? Every city that has people in it is a city of sin. Lebanon is a city of sin. And Lynn and Holy Week have a lot in common. Not the sinning, but the way you go in will be different from the way you come out. Think about it. We are now in. We've entered into Holy Week. There's no turning back. We can try to go out the side door or the back door, but we have moved into Holy Week. The question for us to ponder now and to pray on this week is how we're going to go out. Are we going to follow Jesus? Or are we going to go a different way? We know how we've gone in. Over the next few days, we will find out how we choose to go out.